This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Conflict is a sadly inevitable part of our life in a fallen world. Even though we can't afford conflict in our lives, the gospel gives real hope for restoration after conflict. Today, Pastor Ben Lamphere will continue a lesson entitled Understanding Conflict. He'll finish outlining the direction of this mini-series and begin to lay out a biblical path for dealing with conflict. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
Why? Because we know our own heart. And we can imagine this couple who actually knew perfection. Think about that for a moment. They knew what we all desire. They knew perfection. And so think about the regret that they experienced as they walked from the garden and the conflict that erupted from that regret. That must have been unbelievable. That's my imagination. Well, I say that all to say this. If conflict was in the first human relationship to ever exist, then we can be sure that conflict will be in our lives. You know, conflict is an inevitable part of life. And I don't say this to minimize the damage of conflict by any means. I don't say this to actually say it's not a big deal. I actually say this because I wanted to emphasize the point that it's inevitable. One quote that I have at the bottom there, that's by Ken Sandy. He says this, Robert Jones. One benefit of grasping conflict inevitably is to encourage us to persevere whenever conflict tempts us to give up on a relationship. You know, we're tempted to give up on a relationship, and we are going to talk about how that sometimes when a false way of resolving conflict is actually to be a peace faker, which means you just walk away. You're like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm sick of it. But actually, and then there's some people that are peace breakers. They're like, I'm just going to break wherever I go. Boom, boom, boom. But actually, God's called us to be peace makers. And so this is to encourage us not to walk away from the relationships that are providentially in our life, but prayerfully examine, can I find peace, gospel peace in this relationship? Okay, that's number one. When did conflict begin? But number two, what is conflict? What is conflict? Here's a definition. This is from Ken Sandy from his book, Peacemakers. Very good book if you want to read more about this topic. A difference in opinion or purposes that frustrates someone's goals or desires. A difference in opinion or purpose that frustrates someone's goal or desires. Now, someone may read that and you say, that feels pretty benign. And it's intentionally to be very broad. It's going to have a lot of applications. And this is where we go. There's four, I want to outline very briefly, four causes of conflict. And I'm basically just going to read these. So you'll have got a couple blanks there you can fill in. Oh, I forgot to say, if I forget a blank, just make sure you wave me down and I'll answer it. Number one, conflict is caused by a misunderstanding due to poor communication. This is rampant in relationships. You hear a vocal inflection that you misinterpret as one thing, and you respond in this way, and before you even know it, the race is on. It's like the Kentucky Derby, and there is a war brewing. Miscommunication. You see example of this in Joshua, where one of the tribes, they actually make this altar, and all the other tribes thought that it was, they were actually making an altar to idols and false worship. But it was not that. It was an actually altar to commemorate to the Lord and to remind their children of how the Lord has worked. And they were about, the tribes of Israel were about to come and destroy this tribe. And you can read more about that in Joshua chapter 22. But there's another area. Conflict is caused by differences in values, goals, giftings, calling, priorities, expectations, interests, and opinions. You saw this with Barnabas and Paul. The reality there in Acts 15. There's the conflict that's caused by competition over limited resources such as time, money, and attention. Time, money, and attention. And then the conflict is caused by sinful desires, attitudes, and habits that lead to a sinful words and actions. So this is where most conflicts can come from. And that area of Genesis 13, that's when Abram and Lot and, not Abram, is that right? Sorry. Abraham and Lot, they split and they decided to go two different ways, and the herdsmen were fighting over the different things. And so there was conflict there. You know, but a lot of us live in the world of number four. Conflict is caused by sinful attitudes, desires, habits that lead to sinful words and actions. And we're going to look deeply into James chapter 4. Now, let me assure you this. I think this is a very, very important point. Disagreement is not necessarily wrong or bad. Just because you disagree doesn't mean that is necessarily unhealthy. Now, if someone's always disagreeing, well, you need to stop that. But disagreement is not necessarily sin. Why? Because why can I say this? Why can I say that's actually probably a healthy thing? It can be a healthy thing in friendships, in a church, marriages. Why? Because we're different people with different experiences, with different values, and those differences often lead to making life more exciting and interesting. And so although we should see unity in our relationships, we should not demand uniformity. We should not demand everybody to think like I do, act like I do, dress like I do, live like I do, have the same values like I do. We are different people. You know, in your marriage, it is probably a really good thing that, especially men, that your wife is different. Your wife is different. She brings a whole set of values and giftings to your marriage. It would be very strange if you had the same gift set, and there could be problems with that. And so, just because there's disagreement doesn't mean it's wrong. Now, I will say this. The moment of disagreement, there needs to be a warning. Because disagreements set the stage for conflict. Let me give you an illustration. Maybe this summer you'll hear on the weather forecast that a meteorologist will say, the weather today has all the ingredients necessary for strong storms. We've got the hot weather, we've got the humidity, and we've got this cold front coming through that's going to bring through these strong storms. Now, he's not saying it's going to happen. He's just saying it has all the ingredients for a strong, severe storm to take place. And when you enter into a disagreement with someone, say, no, actually, I think it should be done this way. You are setting all the ingredients for possible conflict. And so you should be aware with that. You should be aware of that. How you present the disagreement matters. How you speak about the difference of opinion really matters, because the stage has been set for conflict. Now, number three. We've talked about what is conflict. Now let's ask this question. What causes disagreements to go wrong? So we're saying, okay, we've got these disagreements. And disagreements, we're saying, aren't necessarily wrong. They can go into conflict. But so what causes disagreements to go wrong? Well, the answer is really in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says this, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. James is writing this exhortational letter to Jewish Christians who have been scattered due to intense persecution. And amid the persecution, James is writing to these believers because they are fighting. Often when we think of fights, we identify the problem as circumstantial. I got angry with them because they cut me off in traffic. I gave them the silent treatment because they didn't give me what I wanted. And so we often justify our response by the circumstance. But James actually identifies the source of conflict being from the heart of people. Because when I want something and you want something different than what I want, there will be a small war to what we both want. Now, I don't use the word war flippantly or in hyperbole. This is the very word that James uses. He uses that word quarrels, which means battles or wars. He says, what causes the disputes and fights? Isn't it that your passions are at war within you? That word passions, the Greek word hedon, you might think about our English word hedonism. And the idea, it's your passions, your desires, that actually you're hoping whatever you want will bring you satisfaction. You're wanting something to be satisfied. And so we go back to our first illustration of Michael and Jenna. She wanted to go to the beach. He wanted to go to the mountains. And maybe the thought in his mind is, I deserve this. I want this. I worked hard for this. I would rather walk on mountain trails than walk on the beach and get sand in places I don't want sand. That sounds uncomfortable. I want to go to the mountains. I bet it's cheaper. Yeah, that's another reason. It's cheaper to go to the mountains than the beach. And so he comes up with all this creative ideas to say, this is the right way. This is what we're going to do. Meanwhile, she's loading up her arguments. Well, we're going to go to the beach because I want to hear the therapeutic sounds of the ocean going back and forth. And actually, I don't like the mountains. I don't like the people in the mountains. I don't like the music of the mountains. I don't like the food of the mountains. I want to go to the beach. And there is this massive division that takes place. And it all starts with, this is what I want. This is what you want. And there is a war. We could really make fights about anything. And so what is it that causes a disagreement to go wrong? It's when my selfish desires require to be satisfied. Actually, I think I have it written there. When I require that my selfish desires be satisfied, I fight, murder, and battle for what I want. Notice how that's written. When I require. I want this. And I'm going to have it. And so I am willing to create a lot of tension with other people because this is what I want. You know, sometimes, to be honest, we get in a groove and we just start making conflict. That's just how we've functioned. And maybe that's you. You've kind of lived a lot of your life with just this conflict mindset and it just kind of bubbles out. Or maybe you know someone that's like that. It just bubbles out. Well, the reality is there needs to be an addressing of the heart to realize my words actually impact and they matter. Let me quickly go on because time is fleeting. Number four, how does conflict progress? Now, conflict progresses. Like, it doesn't just stay in one little spot. It actually grows and it progresses. Let me give you an illustration to help you think through how it progresses. As I was a kid, I loved visiting my grandparents' farm in western New Hampshire. They owned about 700 acres in western New Hampshire, and it was like a summer paradise. and rolling hills, creeks, barns, tractors, cows. I mean, it was everything a kid could dream of. And on that farm, there were large fields that the cattle would graze in. And I remember learning something about those fields, that if they were not maintained, and if they were not cut, and if they were not properly bush hogged semi-regularly, there would be thorns that would start to grow. And they wouldn't start all just with this massive tangle, but there would be inevitably, you know, a thorn seed that would fly on a bird, and it would drop over the soil, and there would be this perfect conducive atmosphere for the right temperature and the right water and the right sun for that thorn to grow. And you have one little inconspicuous thorn bush. And you know what? No one does anything about one inconspicuous thorn bush. Especially on a farm of 700 acres, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of work happening. One thorn bush is not going to make the priority list. But what happens? That thorn bush, they have a habit, and they spread really fast. And before long, that single thorn bush has turned into a whole thicket of thorns. And so now at this point, the cows can't walk through to feed, and really you can't even walk through without getting cut up. And really at this point, you can't go and just pull a thorn. You actually need massive equipment to just get rid of all these thorns, because they have turned in the whole field actually useless. It is no longer profitable. And so either you have to clear cut the whole thing, or you just abandon the field. You know, and I've kind of found that conflict works in the same way. Let's start with one. How does conflict progress? Well, it starts out with a normal disagreement. Two parties express differing opinions, ideas, preferences, and it's respectful. You have a calm tone. You're actively listening. You have mutual respect for one another. There's this willingness to understand. Maybe it's about a restaurant. You have a disagreement about where you want to eat. And eventually says, you know what? It's okay. We can go there. I'll find something there that I know I'll enjoy. And the situation's diffused. The thorn hasn't even come up. Nothing has even happened. Expressing disagreements or differences is normal and a good thing. But what happens next? What about if that disagreement gets a little bit more riled up? Well, you have this point of tension. And that is this disagreement. There's tension. The seed of conflict is planted. This is the stage where you could bubble up into this relational conflict. Or it could resolve. It could be resolved at this point. Someone could back away and say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm getting too animated. This isn't necessary for me to be like this. Maybe voice tones sharpen, minor defensiveness, misunderstandings begin, tensions grow. And maybe feelings start to become dismissed during the conversation. Maybe there starts to be misinterpreting someone's intentions. There's a quickness to prove your point at this moment. And really, this is a watershed moment. Which way will it go? Will it continue to explode, or will it dissolve? And resolve, I should say. Well, number three is called personalization. This is where the relational strain begins. The thorns are now visible. The disagreement moves personal. You know, disagreements often become personal. The blame shifting, sarcasm, passive aggressive remarks, defensiveness dominates. The focus shifts from the issue to the person. And so you often may hear things like, you never listen to me. You always care more about your work than our family. I wish I never married you. Notice the issues move to the back seat, and the person becomes the issue. So the issue is actually no longer a part of the equation. It becomes the person, and we begin to attack. And number four, open fighting takes place. You know, once you proceed to this point, you're bound to have other areas of conflict, and it really is just like that thorn bush that multiplied, and now it's become a whole briar. And it's this whole area that's now difficult to walk through. You know, conflict becomes openly hostile with the goals of winning, hurting, or defending territory. Maybe it's name calling, threatening to leave the relationship. Words now cut deep. Trust really begins to die at this point. Number five, the breakdown happens. Emotions completely take over. Rational discussion becomes impossible. And really at this point, the field, our metaphorical field, is lost. The way forward is actually going to require massive work from both individuals, but there still is hope. But they'll need people, friends, supporters, to walk through this road of navigating the difficulties when you're at this point. Maybe it's examples of screaming matches, storming out, slamming doors, breaking things. And then number six, alienation. One or both parties cut off the relationship emotionally or physically, stonewalling, long-term resentment, end of meaningful relationship without repentance or healing. And the examples are divorce, ending a friendship or partnership with bitterness. I've often heard of businesses that have totally broken, totally collapsed, and there is immense alienation that has set in. I know I've referenced marriages a lot, but this happens in all relationships, in all conflicts. The field of relationships can be filled with potential conflict. But I want to ask you a question. What would have happened if one of those individuals stopped fighting to pick the thorn bush that was still small and manageable? What about if they actually at that moment say, hey, I'm not going to keep pushing for my desire here. I actually am going to step back. I want this to be resolved, and I want to actually pick the thorn bush so this can be diffused. Well, look at what could have been avoided. In the reality, the sad reality, is that as pastors, we probably can all agree that people don't come to our counseling office or a pastoral for help until you get to four, five, maybe step number six. But what imagine if maybe a friend, a godly mentor, came at this point and said, hey, we got to pick this bush, and it seems so small right now, but let's pick it. Doesn't Hebrews talk about that? He says, don't let any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. A root, it's so small. It seems so benign until it grows and grows and grows and becomes something that actually does immense damage. All right, question number five. Who are you in conflict with?
Thank you, Pastor Ben. We'll conclude this lesson next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Pastor Ben Lamphere, is the executive pastor and the pastor for Soul Care at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, join us for a morning worship service every Sunday at 9 or 10:45 a.m. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at Palmetto Baptist Church, and it's edited by C.J. Billieux. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.